We're doing the laws of Shabbos. We were talking about the laws of cooking and baking on Shabbos. So we left off with a question of frying. So if you're going to deep fry something, you put it in a lot of oil. So then we considered that cooking, meaning if it's really deep, so then that's considered it was cooked. So then if you would re-cook it on Shabbos, there's no biblical prohibition of mevashel, because we said en bishul achal bishul. So then, for example, if you have a bowl of soup and your knedelach or your mandelach were pre-cooked, you could put them in there. So when we say en bishul achal bishul, that's provided that it's not on the fire, right? So your bowl of soup is not on the fire. You could put in the thing that was already cooked. You could put it on top of a pot that's on top of the fire, right? But you can't put it directly on the fire, meaning even if you covered the fire, just like you cannot put a pot on the fire, so too you wouldn't be able to put this into a pot that's on the fire. Let's say you have cholent on the fire, and you have potatoes that were pre-cooked. You can't put them on that pot on the fire. Meaning, just like our sages prohibited doing things that look like cooking on Shabbos, so then putting this potato inside the pot of cholent that's on the fire would also be prohibited, even though, on the lid, right. But on the lid, remember, then you're walking into afia, meaning if technically it would get so hot, so that's afia, that's baking, or tzliya, or roasting, because it's dry heat. Pre-cooked only accomplishes that en bishul achal bishul. But I'm saying to put it on the lid, that's only because it won't reach a heat where it'll get baked. Right, but I'm saying if it would reach the heat where it would get baked, so then there is a fia achal bishul. There is baking after cooking. So the kugel was baked. Challah was baked. So then you have no problem. That's en afia achal fia. Once you've baked it once, there's no baking a second time. Right. But there is baking after cooking.
Like if you boil potatoes,
right. If you boil potatoes, then you put them on that lid. Why? No. Better to know the halachas and yes to bother. No, it's not so hard. Now you know it. It's not so difficult. If you think about it for a minute, it's not. There's no reason not to do it. Okay, so those details we haven't yet learned. That's the next thing, and we'll get there in a minute. The details of putting things back on the fire, the rabbinic prohibition of doing something that looks like baking or cooking. Before we get there, there's one more thing, and that's the Gemara discusses salt. Now, the Gemara brings two opinions about salt. One opinion is that salt cooks so easily that even in a lower heat, it would cook. What's called kalei bishul, there are things that cook easily. Even though ordinarily we say you have to cook on a fire or you have to cook in a kli rishon, in a vessel that was on the fire, here the Gemara says salt maybe is kalei bishul and it cooks even if it's not that. Then the Gemara says, no, not true. Halachically, by milcha bishula kebisra de Torah. In order to cook salt, you need to cook it like an ox. You need to cook it for a long time on the fire. Salt doesn't cook easily. That's the Gemara's conclusion. But from that Gemara, we learn a concept. We learn that there is such a thing. There are items that cook easily. So this concept, it teaches us that there are things that even if you put them in a kli sheni, in a vessel that is the second vessel, it's not the vessel that was on the fire, even though ordinarily we say that vessel doesn't cook once it's transferred to a kli sheni, but there are things that will cook in such a vessel. So he gives a few examples. That's not so simple, the examples he gives. He wants to say that tea leaves cook easily. Others say that tea leaves are treated like a spice. The Talmud says spices do not cook easily. And he wants to say what a lot of people say, that tea leaves cook easily. I have a very big issue with those who say that, because usually people said that because visually it seems that way. If you take tea leaves and you put them even in a vessel that's a third vessel, a kli shlishi, you take the vessel off the fire, you pour water from the chayinik, from the first cup to the third, another cup, you put in tea and the tea seems to give flavor and it seems to give color. But you know what? If you take a cold cup of water and you put in a tea bag and you let it sit there, it'll also get the taste and flavor. And no one's going to say that cold water cooks. So that's very hard to say that that proves that it's kalei bishul. His other example is eggs. That's also difficult to say that eggs are kalei bishul. I agree that you could cook an egg. If you take a kli shlishi two or three times, you could cook an egg. But here he's going against Rabbi Feinstein, because Rabbi Feinstein says that we're not worried about a kli shlishi. The Gemara said in a kli sheni, the second vessel, you have to be concerned that there might be things that are kalei bishul, that cook easily. What about a kli shlishi? You have the pot of water on the fire. You take out into your cup, that's kli sheni. You transfer that to another cup, that's kli shlishi. According to Rabbi Feinstein, there's nothing to worry about then. You can make your coffee, you can make your tea, you could do whatever you want. He says not that way. So this is a big stringency, what he's saying. What's the name of the rabbi? I forgot. Rabbi Posen. So there is such a concept as kalei bishul. He wants to say that there we would even have to be concerned in a kli shlishi, that's not so obvious. And the idea, the Talmud tells us, kuliasa ispanin, there was a Spanish type of fish that you just had to pour a little bit of hot water on it, and then the fish was edible. So the Gemara does tell us there are things which a slight immersion in hot water or in warm water makes them edible. So there is such a concept, but he's concerned that he's saying you have to be so concerned with a lot of things. And generally, we don't say that. We say the maximum you have to be concerned is a kli sheni. With a kli shishi, you don't have to be concerned. He says that tea or eggs are for sure kalei bishul. That's not so obvious. Not everyone agrees that that those are kalei bishul, that those are easily cooked. So then, for sure, if we put a kli shlishi, if we have a third vessel, so then that there's you can make your tea, you can make your coffee, you can put in your egg. You could rely on Rabbi Feinstein that that's okay. So that with that, we end the concepts of cooking biblically. And now we run into the questions of Shia, Chazara, and Atmana, the rabbinic prohibitions, which we can do either this week or next. Do you guys want to do it this week or next week?